too many men spend more time training dogs than training kids.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why child raising isn't just a woman's job.
The reason why we've got chaos with kids is daddy can't be found.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Who decides what it means to be a real man? Too often, we leave that job to the people who write scripts for action movies or TV shows. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explores the biblical model of manhood.
A man in a major university asked his class to go study the sitcom Seinfeld. Many of you watched that show when it was on the air, and it was a huge success. He said, "I want you to analyze why Seinfeld is so popular." The students did their study and came back with their report. They said the reason that Seinfeld is so popular is that it has no plot. It meanders from week to week, scenario to scenario, and it is plotless programming. So we've concluded as a class that the reason it is so successful is because plotless people love plotless programming. That because the audience is plotless, they can relate to the plotlessness of the programs. We're living in a day of plotless people living plotless lives watching plotless programs. We're living in a day when people have surrendered meaning to convenience and have surrendered purpose to existence. And this is nowhere seen as great as it is a dilemma as it is in the lives of men. The struggle of manhood today has incited chaos in every other area of our lives. The refusal or failure of males to become men, as God has defined them, to be able to define themselves as God defines us, has created havoc in every level. Now, we know there are many exceptions, but the reality is, when you look at the scope of the decline of marriages, of churches, of the climate and the culture, much of it can be tied to the absence of Adam. Men not being in their God-ordained space. Ezekiel 22:30, God says, "I tried to find a man to stand in the gap so I would not have to curse the land, but I could find none. Plenty of males, but I couldn't find a man." Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1 says, "They looked for a man among all the males, and they couldn't find one." Which means it is possible to be a male and not be a man. The question of the hour today is, are we making our males men, or are we limiting them to simply their biology? In Genesis chapter 18, we are looking at a culture in chaos, in decline, and getting ready to experience judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuality had become the rule of the day. They were rapists. And then it talks about they were living in a context of social injustice by oppressing the poor. So you had homosexuality, you had violence, and you had social oppression. All of that is in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says. And so God looked down and he saw the outcry, the evil decline of the culture, and was preparing to judge it. In the midst of his preparation to rain down fire and brimstone on the moral and social decay that was occurring in these two cities that were the distance between Fort Worth and Dallas, he identifies a man named Abraham. And he gives the men who are here today, starting with me, but applying to all, three things that every man needs to understand, every male needs to understand, and every female needs to expect. If you're going to be God's man and experience God's involvement in your world. So let me jump out here, first of all, and say, I am not seeking to be cultural. I am not seeking to be convenient. And I'm not seeking to win friends. My job is to tell you what God says and what God thinks, not what the media purports. The question of the series is, Adam, where are you? Not Adam and Eve, where are y'all? Adam, where are you? Why? God created the man first because he would be the one God would be looking to first. Abraham is now in the vicinity of Sodom and Gomorrah, a decaying culture, as you and I are living in today, a decaying culture, for all three of the same reasons. And he gives him three things. Verse 19. I have chosen him. I have chosen him. The first thing of a man is to understand you've been drafted. You watch the NFL draft, the NBA draft. When you draft a player, it's because you got a position you want him to fill. You've got a role you want him to take up. You've got a purpose for drafting him for the improvement of your team. Every man has been created as a man, as a draftee of God, because he's got a post he wants you to fulfill and a purpose he wants you to accomplish. I have chosen him. In the midst of this decay, in the midst of this culture, I found me a man. I've selected him. Some of the things God wants to do, he can't do because he can't find him a man. The first thing every male needs to understand is that you have a divinely orchestrated reason for your manhood. Now, I know the culture wants to give you a whole bunch of reasons for your manhood, but God says, for my manhood, your manhood, our manhood, I'm up to something, God says, and that's why I chose him. So if a male is living his life never discovering what God wants out of his life, he is a misguided male. So he makes up his own rules along the way, or he makes up the rules that his posse gives him, or he makes up the rules that the media gives him. And he defines himself in all kind of errant ways because he's going and working for a team that didn't draft him. When a man accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he is drafted into the purpose of God. But unfortunately, many men who even go to church don't even care to know the purpose of God. And therefore, they live distracted in the purposes of culture. Second thing, he says in verse 19, so that, okay, all the men, I want you to say, so that. Okay, in other words, I chose him, now this is what I want him to do, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord and to do righteousness and justice. Okay, so let me clarify a misunderstanding. The misunderstanding is that it's the woman's job to raise the children. That may come from the culture. It doesn't come from the scripture. It says, I command Abraham to raise the children and to teach them righteousness and justice. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, raise your children. In the Bible, it is the job of the man to raise the children, not the woman. The scripture says that I chose him and I want him to raise and train and command his children after him. The reason why we've got chaos with kids is daddy can't be found. Our kids are not a lost generation. They're the product of a lost generation, of abandoned men. Men who can tell you everything about football and nothing about scripture. Men who can quote statistics but can't quote a verse. Men who would never, ever miss a practice or a game but can't get their kids up to go to church. Because everything is out of whack. But at the same time, they say, I want God to do this and God to do that. You can't miss so that. I chose you so that. Because if we're going to fix the culture, he says, we can't skip the family to fix the culture. How are we going to fix the White House and you can't even control your house? And what are you to teach them? Righteousness and justice. Righteousness is your vertical standing before God. That's your walk with God. That's living to please God. Setting a spiritual standard in the home that everybody knows about. That it's not vague. This is how we roll up in here. As Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everybody in your family ought to know we serve God in this house and here's how we do it. In other words, divine guidelines are established by dad. By the father, if you are a father, you set the righteous standards. This is right. This is wrong. God said so. He told me to teach you. So therefore, let's review the rules of this house because God has chosen me to set them. Okay? He starts there. And then he's to teach justice. Righteousness is obedient walk with God. Justice is your equitable treatment of man. That's how you deal with people. You know why this racial problem won't go away? Because daddy hadn't fixed it with the kids. So it gets generational and it gets transferred. Kids don't come out the womb prejudiced. Kids don't come out the womb racist. Kids don't come out the womb rejecting people because of the color of their skin. No, some folks have trained them in that. And that started in the home. And because we didn't train our kids with Martin Luther King's statement to judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin, they pick up all the things they hear in the house and the things they hear in the culture, and they replicate it. If you can't fix it at home, don't think you're going to fix it in the street. He says you ought to teach them justice, how to be equitable, how you treat people, how you respect people, how you honor people, how you're fair to people. You teach them that. That's supposed to come in the house. And so if you can make the practices, if you can talk about fantasy football, if you can talk about the stats of this team or that team, you certainly can take time out to have devotions. You certainly can take time out to have memory verses. You certainly can take time out to pray with them at bedtime. And that may mean recording the show and looking at it later, because you got to be dad first. You got to be dad and husband first. So I can't look at that show right now, but technology has set it up so I can look at it later, because right now I come home from work to my second job. This is what God says. This is what God wants. And far too many men are handing their children a ticket to fail. Praise God for the women who tear up the ticket. But far too many are handing them a ticket to fail. How is that daughter going to know what kind of man she should marry if she doesn't see from her dad, hear from her dad, the standard to judge the men in her life? How will that boy know how to treat a woman if he sees you cussing at your wife, screaming at your wife, hollering at your wife, abusing your wife? How is he going to know how to treat her like a lady? That's dad's job. You say, you're putting a lot on us. Well, first of all, blame God, not me. Secondly of all, that's why he says he made man the stronger vessel. Because you should be able to bear more weight. See, the nature of a foundation is not how pretty it is, it's how much weight can it hold. Not how nice it looks. You don't go looking at foundations. You just want to know, is it solid or is it cracked?
There's a third key principle Dr. Evans wants to tell us about, and he'll come back to do that in just a moment. Stay with us.
Kingdom men, what's holding you back? Have you let the pain of the past break you? Are you broken down? Are you on the ground? Or are you better than what's behind you? Tony Evans' brand new and long-awaited sequel to Kingdom Man, Kingdom Men Rising, gives you the power to break what's broken you, to lift you from the ashes of life's flames. Our world needs you. Your community needs you. Your family needs you. And with Kingdom Men Rising, you can gain access to the tools you need to rise up and overcome the opposition ahead. No more loser's limp. No more regret. Rise up and fight for what is yours, for what is ours. Kingdom Men, we rise together. Find out more at TonyEvans.org. Also makes a great gift for a brother, husband, son, uncle, pastor, and more.
As we've been learning, the future of our families and our society depends on men stepping up to their God-given responsibility as leaders. But that takes power and perseverance. In Kingdom Men Rising, Dr. Evans addresses the cultural consequences of male passivity and shatters stereotypes, painting a real-life picture of manhood at its best, teaching men to keep promises instead of secrets, to rebuild lives and not just engines, to follow Jesus more closely than the stock market or a favorite sports team. And right now, we want you to have a copy as our gift. Just visit TonyEvans.org before time runs out, make a contribution toward Tony's ministry, and we'll say thanks by sending the book your way, along with all 12 full-length audio lessons in his current series, Kingdom Men Rising. And if you're interested in digging even deeper, or to help you share this material with your family or small group, be sure to check out the companion Kingdom Men Rising Bible Study. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by around the clock. I'll have that information for you again after part two of today's lesson. Here's Tony.
So the first thing is there is a purpose. There is a destiny for a man. There is a responsibility of discipline and discipleship for a man. And then the third thing, at the end of verse 19, he says, so that. Let me hear the men say, so that. Now, this is our second so that. The first so that was so that you could get your purpose. The second so that is so that God would now bring your purpose. One is for you to know it. The other is for him to bring it. He said, so that I may bring upon Abraham what I have promised to him. What had he promised Abraham? Watch this, men. You don't want to miss this. He says, verse 18, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. No, you didn't. He says, guess what I'm going to bring Abraham? I'm going to make him a great nation. I'm going to make him a mighty nation. In fact, through him, everybody else going to be better off. Through him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So let me tell all the men here something. It's okay to want to be great. In fact, you're sinning if you don't want to be great. Greatness is built in to the DNA of manhood. The 12 disciples came to Jesus one day And they said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? They were arguing about who's going to be greater. And Jesus then answered them in an interesting way. He says, if you want to be great. He didn't tell them don't want to be great. He said, if you want to be great, you just have to go about it the right way. See, God is not against greatness as long as that greatness is under his rule and out of relationship with him. He's not after one. See, men want to win. Men want to win. Women, you ever just notice that? That's because it's built in. He want to win, all right? The problem is they don't want to win God's way. They want to win their way. We want to win our way. It's okay to want to be great. He says, I'm going to make of Abraham a great and mighty nation. But guess what? I'm going to do it. Now, you know how freeing that is, that God's going to bring it and I don't have to fight to get it? You know how free that is? That God is going to invade my circumstances when I'm in relationship with him, submitted to his authority, walking with him, prioritizing him, fulfilling my responsibilities to those who are in my scope of influence. And let me show you something else in chapter 17. In chapter 17, talking about fulfilling his scope of influence, it says in verse 26, in the very same day Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son, all the men of his household who were born in his house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. So he not only took care of his kids, any man in his vicinity he affected. So the question is, what do men think when you show up? Do they see a real man or they just see one of the crowd? Do they see somebody who's taking a stand under God or he's just another cultural icon? God wants you to be a man of influence. He wants you to be great. Do you know when a lion roars and he really wants to make a statement? That roar can be heard 5 miles. You know what that lion is saying? I own this. Don't come up in here. I own this. This is my territory up in here. And I want to serve notice to y'all 5 miles away. It's my space. I own this. Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He knows how to roar. And he's looking for some men who'll stop going meow. He's looking for some men who don't mind roaring. This is my space. This is my hood. This is my territory because it's been given to me by Almighty God and I am under his authority. It's time to roar. To be great under God, for God, to the betterment of everybody in your sphere of authority and responsibility. When you think of Tom Brady or Ray Lewis, you don't think of just somebody who played. You think of folk who are great when they played. You don't just want to just pass through here. You want to make whatever mark God has for you on the world that he gives you. Now, ladies, your job is to make it easy for him to do that. Don't work against his roar. Encourage it as long as it is a righteous roar, a godly roar. But encourage him to be all that God has created him to be, using all that God has given you so he can become what God expects of him to become. You know, Jesse Owens, 1936, he's in a hostile environment. He's in a hostile environment. He's in Germany. As far as Hitler and the Germans were concerned, he's a monkey running because that's how they looked on him and the black race. And so that's just a monkey running. Hitler gonna come out here and watch the monkey run. In every direction that Jesse Owens looked, there were crowds of people who were against him. But he decided to roar. So 4 times he served notice on Germany. I'm here and you got to deal with me. You don't like me, you don't think much of me, you hate me, you're against me, but I come from another kingdom. I come from the United States of America, and I'm going to represent that kingdom in this chaos. And he demonstrated in the chaos of the kingdom of Germany the greatness of the kingdom that he was from, because he represented that kingdom in this chaos. Men, you belong to another kingdom. You belong to the kingdom of God. You represent the King of Kings. And you may be living in a chaotic world, but your job is to roar and serve notice on this kingdom. You're from that kingdom, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Dr. Tony Evans will come back in a moment with a final illustration about the call to biblical manhood to finish up this message from his current teaching series, Kingdom Men Rising. This 12-lesson collection offers practical, clear directions for men who want to make a difference for the Lord. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering a special package that includes all these lessons on CD and digital download, as well as a copy of Tony's brand new book by the same name, Kingdom Men Rising. Remember, they're all yours as our thank you gift when you make a donation to help support Tony's ministry. This special double offer won't be around for long, and we don't want you to miss out. So make the arrangements today by calling our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org, where you can also sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Connecting men with the leadership power God has given us requires a clear understanding of who we are and who we aren't. Join us next time when Dr. Evans will talk about both. Right now, though, he's back with this final illustration.
His name was Thomas Anderson. The movie is called The Matrix. Thomas Anderson, a.k.a. Neo. Neo is a computer programmer, part-time computer hacker. But through a series of circumstances, he gets whipped away to a computer-generated reality called The Matrix. He runs into a man named Morpheus. And Morpheus says, Neo, we've been waiting for you. He says, there's a war between the people in Zion and the machines. And we have been looking for a conquering hero. We have been waiting for you, Neo, because you are the one. He says, Neo, in this hand I have a blue pill. If you eat this blue pill, then you'll wake up in your bed tomorrow and this will only be a dream. But in this hand, Neo, I got a red pill. If you take this red pill, you will enter into a life you never thought possible. If you take this red pill, you're going to have powers that you never dreamt of. So the question is, which pill do you want? Do you want to leave here and go back to your plain old ordinary manhood, or stay here and get this thing done so that you become the person you were created to be? We've been waiting on you, Neo, but it's your choice what pill you take. So I want to say to all the men here today, I got two pills. In this hand, I got a blue pill. And you take this blue pill and you go home to your plain or ordinary life. You go back to your plain or ordinary job and you live your plain or ordinary way. But in this hand, I got a red pill. And if you take this red pill, you're going to find power that you did not have, ability that you did not possess, strength that you did not own, and a new relationship that you didn't think possible. So I want to see if I have some men here who'll say, I will be God's man. For God's standard, for God's glory, I will become the man of my house. I will influence my realm and be the man that God created me to be. Come on, somebody.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is celebrating 40 years of faithfulness thanks to the generous contributions of listeners like you.